Good morning. Good morning. I want to welcome each and every one of you to this beautiful Sunday morning, Labor Day weekend 2020. We're glad that you're joining us. If you're here with us on campus, if you're outside, if you're over in the sanctuary, we welcome you. Now, we've been kind of promoting some things in regard to our online services. If you're joining us by way of our live stream today, we want to welcome you as well. But we also want you to know that if you're joining us by live stream, you're not out there all alone. Our very own Dr. David Gant is over to my left, and he is there to interact with you folks that are online. So what I want you to do is if you're tuning in and you're watching, let us know that you're here. Let us know where you're from. Give us a wave. Say amen. David is over there. He will be more than happy to interact with you if you have any questions about anything. We encourage you to do that. It's like David said. He said, this is the first chance that you're not going to get called down for talking in church. It's all right. So if there's something that you hear or see along the way in today's message, feel free to post there. We want you to feel like you are a part of Central Baptist Church as well, and that your voice is being heard as we come together around the banner of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So let David know you're here. Work him to death over there. He is working with our online community today. We are so glad that you are here. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer as we begin this morning. Our Father, we come to you today, and we're so grateful and thankful that you have given us this opportunity. Lord, I know that things have seemed so upside down for us amidst this pandemic, but along the way, you are doing some great and some incredible things. Lord, you're showing us things as we go forward. You're showing us 100% reliance on you. Lord, you're showing us that we don't have all the answers, but that we must count on you day by day and step by step for the answer. So we thank you for that. But Lord, we also thank you for the fact that today we've had the opportunity to gather together, whether we're here together on campus or Lord, through the technology that you have allowed man to come up with, that we could be a part of your family called Central Baptist Church today. So Lord, in the midst of that, I ask that you would help us to put aside distractions. I ask that you would help us to truly concentrate upon the words that the Holy Spirit wants each and every one of us to have. Whether we're here, whether we're miles away, we have gathered around your word. Speak to our hearts. Help us to be prepared to hear what the Spirit has to say and to react in a way and in a manner that is pleasing to you. So Lord, right now, we just ask that as we spend this time around your word, Lord, as we spend this time around music, that we would truly hear your voice, for you have a word for us today. Bless each and every aspect of what we do. May it honor and glorify you as we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jim, and our wind ensemble for blessing our hearts this morning. If you have your Bible this morning, go ahead and turn with me, if you would, to the book of Galatians in chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. And as you go there, this is Labor Day weekend. This is the time when we get that day where, in a lot of cases, people feel like it is an opportunity for our employer to say thank you to us. Some of us are right there saying, well, our employer didn't say anything. It just happens to be a national holiday. But at any rate, no matter how you view it, it is a time that most of us say that we get honor for working. We take that privilege to have that day off to say thank you for doing such a great job. Thank you for working so hard at what you do. Because we get tired, don't we? I mean, yeah, how many of us can say, you know what, I've been tired in my job? And tired takes on many different forms. It's not just a physical tired, although it can be. You go out and do physical work all day, it can be a situation where you get tired. But there's also a mental tired. There's an emotional type tired. There's times when you go home and you say, it's not that I had to do so much on the physical side, but boy, I sure am beat. You know, you've had to think a lot. You've had to use that brain. But, you know, tomorrow is the day that we are rewarded for that. The time when we sit back nationally, we say thank you for all the work that you do, minus those who are our first responders and doctors, nurses, police, fire, whom we appreciate so much. They don't get that day off. Somebody still needs to be out there doing those wonderful things to keep us all safe and healthy and happy. But a lot of us are sitting back, and tomorrow we have that opportunity to just enjoy a day that says, thank you for what you do, work-related. Now, I want us to look at some passages in Galatians, because I mentioned a moment ago, we get tired. And there's one particular verse in this passage that we're going to read today, and then I'm going to take you to some various places throughout the Word. But Galatians chapter 6, beginning with verse 2, Galatians chapter 6, beginning with verse 2, reads like this: Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and when he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For each one shall bear his own load. Let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. Verse 8, for he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit of the Spirit will reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity. Lord, help us not to miss the Holy Spirit's movement in our lives, no matter where we are. Lord, it is so easy to be about process. Help us not be that this morning. Help us to be about hearing your Spirit speak to our hearts. Lord, I pray that as your speaker for these moments, that you would truly be glorified, that the words that are spoken forth today would come from you. So Lord, use me and may you be heard. So we ask this in Jesus' name, amen. You know, when you look at that, particularly verse 9, it's an encouragement to us. It's a don't quit. Look, it says, and let us not grow weary while we're doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. And right before that was what I call a law of the Lord. It says, whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. I call that a law because if we can think about that in scientific terms, a law is something that happens 100% of the time. I've mentioned this before, the law of gravity. Most of us understand the law of gravity, regardless of what age you are. Gravity becomes more important the older we get and the more brittle we get, doesn't it? Amen, JC. That's right. We tend to be, gravity can hurt us at that particular point. But it happens every time. There's not been a point where you have tripped over something and gravity hasn't joined in to help. When you hold something out and you let it go, it is going to drop 100% of the time. I call this law that we see about here in verse 8, I call that one of the laws of the Lord. Verse 7, do not be deceived, God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. That's going to happen 100% of the time. If you sow to the spiritual things, you will reap a spiritual harvest. If you sow to ungodliness, you will reap an ungodly harvest. Plain and simple. You know, whatever you sow, that you will reap. If you plant tomato plants, you don't wind up with peppers. Whatever you sow, that you reap. Now, I want to ask you a question this morning, but I don't want you to answer it out loud. And you'll understand why in just a little bit. But the question I want to ask you this morning is, how many of you enjoy your job? Now, how many of you enjoy your job? Now, I can look out here and I know that there are some that do, and I can tell you that I can look out there and I know that there are some that do not. Some of you come home cranky every day. Some of you come home every day and you know, depending on how you act or react, you either take that out on family or it can affect your attitude. So when you think about your job, if you were here today and you could answer that question and you could say, yes, I enjoyed my job. You know, I want you to know that a survey is a couple years old, but there was a survey that said that 65% of American workers are unhappy with their job. 65%. Well over half the people in today's workforce are unhappy with their jobs. Many of them go to work simply because they don't have a choice. They've got a mortgage to pay. They've got a car payment. They've got many other things that without that paycheck from their employment, they would be in a real bind. So they get up every morning cranky. Even the coffee doesn't help. They try to do the best they can to just, you know, suck it up for the sake of paying the bills. They go in there, and in their mind, continually, they're sitting there going, well, I'm going to have to run into that person. I'm going to have to deal with this one today. That person gets on my nerves. This person gripes me. And then, to your surprise, it is exactly the way you intended or said it was going to be every day. And you sit there and say, there's no end in sight. What's going to happen? What is going to take place? I owe. It's off to work I go. And if you had an opportunity to go someplace else, you have dreamed big dreams. You have thought about what the perfect ideal workplace would look like. Now, for a moment, I want us to digress and I want us to look at this in a biblical light, because we have a tendency to compartmentalize things that we shouldn't always compartmentalize. We have this tendency to look at things either being sacred or being secular, don't we? You know, we look at it and we'll say, well, that's holy. These are the holy things. And these are things that would fall into a category of being secular. And sometimes what we do is we've got a right heart. Maybe you're here today and, man, your job is driving you crazy. You work hard. You have to work long hours. And today you're here and you've maybe even heard of mission activities and opportunities that we have going on. And you've said so many times, man, I'll tell you one thing. I would certainly love to do that. I would like to serve God more, but I have to spend so much time on my secular job that I don't have an opportunity to be involved in those things. See, what you can do is you can see that when we begin to compartmentalize things as sacred versus secular, there were some patterns that we see within the Bible. Now, in all fairness and all honesty, you do see a difference in that in the days of the Old Testament. Now, let me give you an example.
In the times of the Old Testament, there was the idea of the temple. We've read about that. We know about it. Now, this was before Jesus Christ and before the sacrifice on Calvary's cross. And the temple was there. If you wanted to get in touch with God, that was where you went, because that's where God was. You know, if you wanted to bring a sacrifice to the priest, or if you wanted to talk to the priest, that's where they were. You had to go to the temple to do that. So back when you look at Old Testament days, it was somewhat segregated. It was somewhat compartmentalized. But all that changed with the new covenant that we read about in Jesus Christ within the New Testament. Remember, and I keep saying this repeatedly so that we will have that understanding as we come around the communion table. When Jesus took the cup, he said, in a like manner also, he took the cup when he supped, saying, "This is the new covenant in my blood. Drink ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." He was saying there was going to be a change. You and I no longer have to go to the temple. You don't have to come to the church today to be able to get a hold of God, because he resides within you and I. We are a new generation. 1 Peter 2:9 says we're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. We don't have to go to the church to see God through Jesus Christ. We carry him everywhere we go. And oftentimes we forget that. We think that if we go to church, we go to church so we can be spiritual on Sunday. And we feel like we go to church so that we can meet or see God. Folks, let me tell you, he's with you as a believer everywhere you go. When you check out of here today, or when you turn the television off today, or the computer off today, and you go out to eat lunch, guess who's going with you? The Lord. When you're in the car on your way to work, belly aching about the job, guess who's hearing you and with you? The Lord. You know, I think there's a different perspective today, because there are some people that I know of, not our church folk, just people I know of, who have complained about their job. Well, they don't have to worry about complaining about it right now, because they don't have one. And now they're sitting there saying, you know what? I wish I had that job that I continually griped about in the past. Why is it that we always have to seem to lose something before we realize what we have and we realize what the opportunities are? So as you've come into the house of the Lord today, or as you have tuned in today, have you compartmentalized your spirituality? When you think about your job, so many people, I know that there are people before who said, you know what, I'd love to quit my job and serve the Lord full time. Folks, let me promise you something. God does not call each and every one of you to be a pastor. God does not call each and every one of us to vocational ministry. But he does call each and every one of us to be witnesses for him wherever we go and whatever we do. And guess where that includes? Your workplace, where you spend a large majority of your time with those coworkers that some of you really grit your teeth because you detest. Where some of you go and you feel like you are in the most pagan place on the planet. Where some of you go and you look around and say, I wish that I had Christian brothers and sisters that were like-minded with me, but I feel like I'm all alone, you know, in the midst of this, and I do not want to be influenced in an ungodly way. I would like to be an influence in a godly way, but there's a lot more of them than there are of me. Some of you have been there. Some of you will be going there Tuesday morning. Some of you, every day of your life, you really have the right heart for Jesus. And you want to do some things, but you just feel so outnumbered, and you may have even been beat down in your faith. You may have been ostracized in your faith. And you've just sat back and you've been silent. And you have, a lot of us have compartmentalized who we are in Jesus, and we've made our job something secular and our spiritual walk something sacred. And the Lord says there's no difference in this day and age between the two. See, the New Testament tells us that we can take God with us wherever we go, and that he can be a part of everything that we do. So as we have that in mind, there's a couple of things that we want to understand this morning, as you prepare to enjoy your day off from your job tomorrow, enjoy it to the fullest. But I also pray that you will prepare your heart and mind with a new sense of direction as you go to your job on Tuesday morning, with a new set of marching orders. And I trust that the first thing that we need to understand is that we need to see our everyday work as service for God. Have you ever really thought about that? That what you do when you get ready to go to work Tuesday morning, this is something that you are doing for God Almighty. That makes it a little bit harder to be cranky, doesn't it? And some of y'all went, no, I can still be cranky about it. Because you just don't know what I have to go through. Yeah, listen, excuses are a dime a dozen. There are thousands of them out there. But do you realize that God has placed you where you are for such a time as this, with the talents and with the abilities that you have, and he has done so saying, I want to use you for my honor, for my glory in the place where you are. And too many of us are just simply saying, Lord, get me out of here. Move me on. Send me to a different place. I don't like where I am. Now, I'm going to say something that's going to be very hard for many of us to understand. God is not concerned about whether you're happy where you are or not. And you're sitting there going, oh, wait a minute, don't say that. No, 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 no. God has a purpose in store for you. It's much like what people have said many times, and I've said this even as a father. You know, right now, God called me to be your father. I'll be your friend later. But God's called me to apply the Board of Education to the seat of your learning to make sure that you're on target as you go. Some of us have to hear the hard things, and we're in a society today that doesn't do that. We've model collied our society today to the point that there's no consequences for anything that they do, and they feel like they're an entitled generation that everybody owes me something. Folks, let me tell you something. God doesn't owe you anything. And as long as there's breath in our body, we owe him. And he has given us the privilege of having a job, not only to be able to pay our bills, but to honor and to glorify him. So we need to see our work, wherever you're getting ready to go on Tuesday morning, as a God-given opportunity, with God-given challenges, with God-given divine appointments along the way, that you can be used for his honor, his glory, where nobody else that you know can. You have been put in that place, and you've been put there for a reason. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, therefore, whatever you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it all to the glory of the Lord. So when you go to work, are you doing it for the glory of the Lord? Is your attitude in line as you do this for the glory of the Lord? Colossians 3:17 says, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. What about Colossians 3:23? And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord, not unto men. Have we let those scriptures sink in about our everyday job? You know, we were talking about some passages about Paul Wednesday night in the book of Corinthians, but what he says was this. What was it he said? He said, I become all things to all people that I might win some. Yeah, that I might by all means win some. He says that means that when I have to be in or around them, that doesn't mean I become a sinner like them, but somebody's got to reach these people. You know, if we sit back on our blessed assurance and say, well, we're church people and we can't mix with a lost and dying world, how will they know unless they hear? How will they hear without a witness? And where will be the witness unless we're willing to go? Folks, God has called you to be in your place of service on Tuesday morning. Now, we need to begin to understand that it is a God-called place of service. And I know what some of you said. I don't like where he's put me. I don't like this. This is not right. God shouldn't have done this to me. See, which brings us to the second thing that we need to understand today. And that is that you can serve God where you work. In your mind, and what Satan has just told a bunch of you is, oh, you just don't understand where I work. You don't understand what the people are like. No, I cannot. Ephesians chapter 6, in verse 5, it says, it's very appropriate for us today, but it addresses slaves, you know, servants and masters. But you could interchange the word workers for it. And in verses 5 and 6, you could put it like this. You could say, workers, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Obey them not only to win their favor, when their eye is on you, but like slaves in Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Now, I want to give you some examples that should make this easy. Because a lot of us are sitting here saying, you know, that sounds good. It sounds spiritual on a Sunday morning in church, but if you just only knew where I was. Let me tell you where God put a few people. Let me go back to the Old Testament, and I want us to discuss for just a few moments Daniel. A lot of us have heard Daniel. We know the story about Daniel in the lion's den. So I want to carry you there for a minute, and I want us to think about his life and what was taking place. You know, Daniel was carried away as a captive to Babylon. Now, when you think about that, he was a captive. He didn't go voluntarily. The Lord didn't just come up and say, well, Daniel, I think it's a really good idea for you to go into a pagan land. Why don't you pack up all your stuff and move over there? No. He was taken there by force. He was required to go to Babylon. And the thing that you need to understand about Babylon is how pagan of a place that was in the days of Daniel. You know, Daniel was taken away from Jerusalem, where he was surrounded by those who believed like him, where he was surrounded by those who knew and understood the value of a walk with God, and he was placed into this very, very pagan place. But now, as he's there, as time passed, King Nebuchadnezzar appointed him to be a government official. Get that. Nebuchadnezzar appoints him to be a government official, and essentially he became a bureaucrat, serving in a government that was not like him, serving in a place that was not in keeping with his beliefs. Now, if a lot of what we hear is true, if you want to get away from God, one of the best places you could do that is in politics. And all God's people said, I know what we say, and by the way, we've got some really good politicians out there. They're not many, but there are some. We do have some good ones, but most of us know. I've asked people before, I said, when you think of politics, what do you think? I did a Roy survey one time, and I said, well, when you think of politics, what do you think? And the most common response I got were, they're a bunch of cheats and liars. That was the most common response that I got. So you would figure if you want to get away from God, if you want to get into a crowd that's going to influence you in a wayward direction from God, politics would be the great place. And yet, what do we have? Daniel is a government official in a pagan place under a pagan king, and he is there to do a job. But as Daniel worked in that government office, sitting behind his government desk, doing all of his duties as a government bureaucrat, he was still able to serve God. And King Nebuchadnezzar respected his faithfulness to God. As Daniel rose higher and higher among his countrymen, he did not compromise his position with God Almighty. Now, some of you sit back and say, well, I'm surrounded by pagans and it's no sin. Listen, think about him. What do you think he was going through? He was in a government position. Every day there were people who disputed what he said, and yet God along the way still blessed him. God understood what was going on. God blessed him along the way. And you have to understand that when God's people Israel were taken captivity, and I preached on this not long ago, remember what he told them. He said, when they essentially their mind was saying, well, we're not going to be here long. God's going to deliver us. And God said, no, you need to understand. You need to start building houses. You need to start giving your children in marriage, and you need to start enjoying your grandbabies. You're going to be here for a while. So you might as well learn to make the best of it, because this is where I've called you. This is where I've placed you, and this is where you can shine most and best. Now, you're going to be twisting in the wind out there what it seems like by yourself? Sometimes, yes, it will. But God and you make a majority. Do not compromise. Question is, are you strong enough to not be tuned in to the forces of evil around you and stay tuned in to God Almighty, which one is going to influence the other? Are you and God going to be the influence in your workplace, or are the things that are evil in your workplace going to influence you and draw you back? See, when King Nebuchadnezzar died, the Babylonian Empire began to disintegrate, and finally it was conquered by King Darius. And once again, Daniel's outstanding qualities were recognized, and he was soon appointed as one of the highest officials in the land. Folks, when you follow God's will, God's way, he sees it and he honors it and he will reward you for it. There comes a time when pressures were put on him to do things that were against God. Remember, Darius had been tricked by those around him, the evil ones that were around him, and that's how Daniel wound up being cast into the lion's den, because he wouldn't turn his back on God. And King Darius, who had become a friend to Daniel, was forced to throw Daniel into that lion's den. And most of us know the story. God shut the mouth of the lions, and Daniel was unharmed. That next morning, Darius came rushing over to the lion's den, expecting to find what was left, or bits and pieces of Daniel there. And in verse 20 of that the passage that relates the story, the sixth chapter of Daniel, it says, "And when he came near the den, he called to Daniel in an anguished voice, 'Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions?'" I'm paraphrasing here, but Daniel said, "Oh yeah, yep, God's got this. He surely has." To which Darius was pleased. Isn't it interesting? Daniel worked in a pagan environment. He worked in a pagan office. He worked for a pagan king, and yet the one thing that the pagan king knew about Daniel was that Daniel served God continually. Do people know that about you in your workplace? Why is that so important? Because you right now are the Bible that they are reading. You are what they are basing Christianity upon. When they look at you, do they truly see you walking the walk, talking the talk? Or do they look at you and say, "Well, you know, I thought I found a really good example, but you're just a hypocrite like the rest of them"? Now, we've fallen. At times we have failed along the way. But when in your workplace, can they truly say that about you? You know, do they say that you walk with God continually? And if they did, for some people, I've heard people say that, "Well, that's what my people think about me. They think of my Christian walk. They don't invite me to the things that they do." And I'm sitting there and said, "You know what? I would count that a privilege." Yeah, because that means that you're living the godly lifestyle before them. It means that you're showing your spiritual and Christian worldview is a part of your everyday life. I mean, would you rather go be a part of that? Would you rather them call you a hypocrite? No. For the sake of our Lord, listen, that's a compliment when they say that you walk with God. But is that what they're saying about you? Another example of that is Joseph. We know Joseph. Talk about making lemonade out of lemons. This was a guy who did. Sold into slavery, working for his master, doing everything right. Seduced by his master's wife. He didn't give in to the seduction, but yet she filed false charges on him. He winds up in prison. Now, while he's in prison, he still begins to work with all of his heart, with all of his soul, with all of his mind, in a reprehensible place. Talk about a bad place. And yet it says, the Word of God says, and yet everything Joseph did prospered. The jailers even saw what he was doing. The jailers put him in charge in the jail. They didn't worry about it when Joseph was around. They weren't worried about him escaping because he knew that where he was being allowed by God for such a moment as that. If there was ever a guy who could sit back and say, I'm done with this, Joseph should have been that guy. Remember what we said, man, brothers didn't like him, sold him into slavery, tried to kill him. You know, he's doing right. Yeah, I can see him sitting in prison saying, I've been living the spiritual life and things just aren't going my way. God must have turned his back on me. God must not be with me. God, why are you doing this to me? Oh, woe is me. Is that what he did? No, sir, and no, ma'am. He got busy where he was. He maintained his walk with the Lord. He maintained his spiritual worldview, even in the midst of those around him. And what does the word tell us about Joseph? Here it is in the nutshell. And everything Joseph did prospered. Even to the point of where he was. And some of you are sitting there saying, I just want God to discover me where I am. I want him to move me on. I want him to do something better. Listen, if you are faithful where you are, let me promise you that God already knows what's going on with you. We also know that Joseph later on became a ruler in Egypt that was over all the food of which his own family later would come to him just to be able to survive. Because he had been faithful where he was. Are you being faithful where you are in your workplace? When Joseph was in prison, he worked hard and the prison was blessed. In your workplace, are you working hard that it might be blessed? Even if you're amidst a pagan group, even if you're amidst a pagan workplace or whatever, are you working hard? This may not make sense to have Joseph being blessed in prison, but Joseph didn't care. It was all about his work for the Lord. Listen, is it all about your work for the Lord where you are? Some of you say, well, I'm not a preacher. Well, no, you're not. But God calls business people. God calls computer programmers. God calls auto mechanics. God calls anything that you can think of, and he's placed you where you are for a reason. And it doesn't always have to. God may not be punishing you because you're in a place that you can't stand. It might be that he sent you there to be a light unto the world. You see, folks, here's the bottom line. Every one of us are to be ministers. We are a chosen generation according to the word of God. We are a royal priesthood. We're a holy nation. His own special people that he has placed in various and sundrous locations. Now we can do one of two things. We can be thankful for where God has placed us. We can rise to the challenge of being godly in that work environment. We can do the hardest and best work that we can do. Or we can sit back with a victim mentality. The two examples I gave you would have been very, very easy to have sat back and said, well, I'm just a victim. Let me ask you something. Why was Daniel in Babylon? Of course, the answer is that the Babylonians took him captive, took him as a captive. Well, look what Jeremiah 29:7 says. God says, I have carried you into exile. I have carried you from Jerusalem to Babylon. I have carried you. You know what that means? God said, here's where I want you to be. God says, here's where I want you to go. You see, the earthly side of us says, well, Lord, I'm due a promotion. I'm supposed to be out of this pagan mess. I'm supposed to be away from this place. And sometimes God takes you from a nice, comfortable place and will put you in a pagan mess, and he'll do that so that your light can shine for him. And instead, what we do is say, oh, God, why are you punishing me? Why did you put me here? Why are you doing this? Listen, if God's called you to be a truck driver, be the best truck driver you can be. For his honor, for his glory. I used to remember what Dad used to tell me all the time, because I used to pick when I was at that critical stage in my life when everybody's asking you, what do you want to do with the rest of your life? And, Mom and Dad would say that, and I'd say, you know, what do you want to do when you grow up? And I said, I want to ride on a garbage truck. That's what I said. I want to be a trash man. I was expecting blowback on that, but you know what I got? Son, if that's what you want to do and that is what God has called you to do, then you be the best rear bumper garbage man on the face of this planet and we'll be proud of you. And I did. Guess what one of my jobs in college was? I fulfilled my dream. I rode that garbage truck in college every morning at 5 a.m. Rode the back of it with some great guys, had a ball, picked up garbage for Jesus, kept the campus clean, enjoyed it. Listen, we made the best out of that. That was one of the most fun jobs I ever had. And I got a little bit disappointed as time went by because they made me the driver. I didn't want to be the driver. I wanted to be on the back with the boys. I wanted to pull the handle and watch the thing go and shove all the trash in the back. I wanted to be that guy. Listen, folks, what is your attitude based on your job where you are right now? Can you climb up on the back of the garbage truck and enjoy life to the fullest? Making a difference for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Or are you going to sit back with the victim mentality? Oh, Lord, I don't deserve to be here. I deserve better than this. Why did he get promoted? Or why did she get promoted? And why am I still here? And blah, 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 blah. Listen, I'm going to put this in a very unspiritual term. Stop whining. And start looking at why God has you where you are to fulfill the reason God has you where you are. Daniel was in a pagan place, surrounded by pagan people, but the Bible says that that is exactly where God placed him. We've heard the analogy, one bad apple can spoil the whole bunch. Well, as long as we want to think bad about everything every time, then it'll win every time. If you're in a secular workplace, working next to pagans, then see that as your God-given opportunity to influence that person for the good. That person that you work with every day, that person that you look into their eyes every day, that person that's voice you hear, that person who cries on your shoulder, that person who shares hopes and dreams with you, the person that tells you about the new vehicle they bought or the accomplishments of their children, those sort of things. It doesn't, you know, what's God got you there for? I don't know why, but I can tell you this, he's got you there for a reason. Are we going to capitalize on what those reasons are? Are we going to go back Monday morning or Tuesday morning, because Monday's the holiday? Are we going to enjoy tomorrow and then get back and go, well, the long weekend's almost over. I'm going to go ahead and start taking the Tylenol now. My attitude is reverted back to work. Woe is me. God, why are you punishing me like this? God's saying, I'm not punishing you. I'm giving you the greatest opportunity to reach into a place that nobody else can reach into but you. What are you going to do with the opportunity? Are you going to sit back and cry, oh, I'm a victim, I'm a victim? Or are you going to say with a new heart and with a new attitude that when you go out of here today, Lord, I just want to thank you that I still have a job, because the jobless rate was as high as the Great Depression here a couple of months ago because of the pandemic. There's a lot of people I know who have lost their jobs that may never come back. Listen, if you have a job, you need to be thanking God for that. And you need to be able to say, Lord, I am going to go in Tuesday morning with a completely different heart, with a completely different attitude. That doesn't mean that people still aren't going to get on your nerves. They will. That doesn't mean that they're still not going to, but how are you going to face it? As you come here today, you carry Jesus in your heart, so carry it to the workplace on Tuesday. Somebody desperately needs to hear the message of Jesus Christ. They need to see it modeled in their presence. And I hope in the same way you can see your workplace as a sacred place where you can serve the Lord, where you can witness, where you can tell others about your faith with those who don't know Jesus. Some people have said, well, I'll tell you one thing, I sure wish that I had your job. You're around believers all the time. Do you realize that's one of the biggest downfalls of my position, is that I am around believers all the time? It's hard to win believers to be believers, isn't it? It means you got to be out there where they are. Listen, that's why missions is so exciting, whether it's downtown with Grace Community, whether it's in Cuba, whether it's at a camp in Wyoming, yeah, whether it's in Canada, no matter where it is, there are opportunities that God gives us. And we've segregated that out. Oh, this is sacred. The mission trips are sacred, but my workplace is secular. Listen, make your workplace sacred. That's your mission field. Don't neglect your mission field. Mike, man, you got a bunch of truck drivers and people around there that need Jesus. And God's placed you there. Isn't that cool? That's pretty neat. Yeah, I look around and I see people who come in contact. Yeah, I see those in support areas. Yeah, I see those who work with computers. Listen, man, your work helps me today. You know, I see Jonathan over there. Man, look, I'm reading the scripture today because of your work here. That might not be cool to you. It's real cool to me. But we all have a place and we all have a position, and the Lord has placed you there. Stop looking at it as punishment. Start looking at it as your mission field. Maybe God will send you to a different place. Maybe he'll tell you to build houses and raise children because you're going to be here for a while, just like he did the captives in Babylon. And you sit back and say, and I've seen it before. I actually did it one time on a job. I said, you know what? I am tired of all these other people coming in and them getting jobs that I want to have in this particular place. Why is it that people I trained are here? How come you won't let me go over there, and why don't you put one of them over here? I deserve it. You know what my supervisor told me one day? He said, you know, I know it may look that way. And he said, I know you may not understand this, but here's the reason why. Because you have what it takes to serve in this particular area. I'm like, Lord, I don't want to serve here. I don't want to be down here where the drug deals and the murders and all that stuff are. I don't want to be down here with the people that I have to pick up and arrest every night because they're drunk. I want to be out there in that area where all the big houses are, where I get to ride around in my clean patrol car and go, how you doing? Yeah. And the worst call you get's a barking dog. I'm like, why can't I go to Sector 2? Why am I down here again in Sector 1 where the total depravity of man is out here? And my commander said, because you understand them. And I went, what? He said, because I've seen how you deal with them, how you talk to them, how you treat them with humanity, how you truly care. Said, I even saw you in a hospital one time telling a guy that had to be examined because of a fight y'all had been in, and you said, you and me going to talk about Jesus today. We're waiting here for the doctor to sew your head up, but I'm going to tell you about Jesus because that's the most important thing, and I have a captive audience. You happen to be in handcuffs and can't leave. So I'm going to tell you about Jesus. I stayed in Sector 1. It wasn't pretty, and I didn't like it. but I understood it after a while. And some of you need to stay in sector one, because that's where God needs your heart. That's where God needs your personality. That's where God has work for you to do. And you can do one of two things. You can grumble and complain about it, or you can embrace it. And you can say, Lord, I will serve and I will do my best with all of my heart for you. Not for the pagans, for you. I will do the best I can that when I stand in your presence, I'll be able to hear the words, well done, good and faithful servant. I hope and pray that in some ways you can see your workplace as sacred and not just secular. That this particular Labor Day weekend, as we enjoy all the goodness that God has, as we take a pat on the back for all the hard work that we've done, that we will re-enter the workplace on Tuesday, ready to go as a messenger of the Most High God. Stop asking the questions. Start being about the Master's will. In just a moment, we're going to have a time of invitation, and I want to put forth a challenge to you. For some of us, we've never begun that relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We know a lot about Him. We've seen a lot of things. We've been a lot of places. We've gone to church. We've done all the little checkbox things. But we've never confessed our sins before Him. We've never asked Him to save our soul. Maybe today that's what He's put on your heart. Maybe you're not one of His children. Maybe you haven't heard His voice because you're not one of His children. My God knows His children and calls them by name. When I say Lord, He goes, yes, Roy calls me by name. Isn't that cool? Does He know your name? Have you confessed your sin before Him? Have you said, Lord, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. I'm asking you to save my soul. If not, let's just bow your head and say, Lord Jesus, I do confess my sin today, and I'm asking you to save my soul. I surrender to you. Help me, Father, to live for you. In Jesus' name. Listen, if you ask Him with sincerity in your heart, then He saved your soul this very day. You're one of His children. He knows you by name, and He wants you to live for Him. Let us know that. Listen, if you're in our viewing audience and you accepted Christ today, please let Dr. David over there know. We want to get you some material. We're not going to bother you. We're not going to harass you. We want to be there for you. We want to celebrate with you, because, man, that is the most important decision that anyone ever makes, is to follow Jesus Christ. If you've done that, please let us celebrate with you. Just let Pastor David know. And even if you know, if you don't feel comfortable putting it in a comment section, just say, hey, listen, how about sending me a text or give me a call? Well, he's really computer savvy. And we'll get up with you and we'll have a chance to talk with you. And we want to help you. We want to disciple you. We want to get some material to you that will help you strengthen your walk. Would you do that for us? Maybe you're here today and you've had a really bad attitude. Listen, how many of y'all have ever had mama or somebody tell you that you had a bad attitude? Now, here's the tough part. How many of you, you may not have agreed with it then, but you agree with it now. You had a bad attitude. Maybe some of us have gathered in the house of the Lord today and we got a really bad attitude. Some of y'all sitting on the couch, you've had a really bad attitude about your work. And it's time to say, golly Pete, man, the Lord did put me in this place and He's blessed me. Maybe we just need to bow our head and say, Lord Jesus, thank you for the job I have. Thank you that you support my family, that all good things come from you. And now, Lord, help me to look at my job, my workplace, as a sacred place and not just a secular one. Change my heart, change my attitude. Create in me a clean heart, O Lord, that when I walk through the doors, when I punch the clock, when I sign on duty, whatever the circumstance may be on Tuesday morning, that I will be a clean vessel, ready to be used by your hands in the lives of those in whom you have placed my life. Help me, Father, to view it as my mission field, to never ever see it any other way. Lord, bless me in my endeavors in Jesus' name. Listen, take that challenge for Tuesday morning. When you walk in, realize the hand of God is upon you, and He wants to use you in that place. Whatever decision it is that you've made today, and I pray that you have made a decision either to receive Him or to draw close to Him, whatever that decision may be, would you take these moments in prayer? Just gather around Him. Thank God for what He's done in your life, for what He's given you. Contact us. Let us know. If there's any way we can help you in the midst of this pandemic, please just let us know. We'll be there for you. But as Jimmy and our winds play, spend this time in prayer just for a few moments that you might solidify the decision that you've made today as we look to the Lord in prayer. Amen. We trust that the Lord has moved in your life, that He's shown you some different things today, that maybe we go away with some corrected attitudes. I'm going to give you an announcement and then close us off in prayer. Dr. David, did people talk to you today? A little bit more than before? Oh, he's in the zone over there. He's in the online zone. So, what's that? More hellos. Okay, you guys are doing better. This is first grade on computer technology, but we'll get you there. Listen, it's all right to talk in church to Him. It's all right to commune with one another in our online community. Thank you for being a part of that. Thank you for those that will catch us later by way of replay. And I thank God for those who He has put in our way that have the knowledge and and know technology to be able to bring this venue to us. Okay, real quick before we go, just as a reminder, next Sunday is what is affectionately known as our Sunday school picnic here at Central Baptist Church. What we're going to do is we're going to bring our own picnic. That's what we're looking to do so that we're not handling food, because we're still in the middle of this pandemic. We ask that you bring your own picnic for your own family. Bring a blanket, some chairs. We'll actually kind of meet around outside. The church is going to actually be providing canned drinks, bottled water, and like Little Debbie individually wrapped, hermetically sealed desserts. And if you do need some tables and some climate control, there's going to be some tables set up in here. Is that right, Ashley? We just need to know if you could let our fellowship team know through the church office that you would like to be inside and need a couple of tables. We're going to social distance and still have an opportunity for fellowship. You need to sign up for this by this coming Friday, 9/11. Actually, I'm going to say this coming Thursday because the office is not open on Fridays. So you can do that online on our Facebook page. Is that right? There's sign-up sheets. Okay, there are sign-up sheets here, or you can call the church office, and Debbie will make sure that we have your name listed. We just need to know how many to prepare for. So after next Sunday service, we'll just gather around, not really closely, but social distancely, and we'll have a good time of fellowshipping one with another, something that we haven't had an opportunity to really do for the past umpteen months since March. So come be a part of that if you feel comfortable. If not, that is perfectly okay. We understand. Our heart is with you, and your heart is with us. Finally, before we dismiss in a word of prayer, I encourage each and every one of you. I'm so thankful for the way that you have been so faithful to maintain your giving through these tough times. Just to let you know, if you are outside on the lawn, you'll see the offering box that is out there by the sidewalk, by the bicycle rack. As you exit, you can drop your offering in there. If you're in here in our multi-purpose building, there is a offering box by the door. You can drop it in as you go out. If you're over in our sanctuary, you can place your tithe and offering in the offering plates down there on the offering table. And they will be collected immediately after the worship service. So we thank you so much for everything that you have done and everything that you have done to maintain the church that we call Central Baptist Church. There's only one church. We're all part of a body of believers, but this is the fellowship that we call Central Baptist Church. Thank you for your love, for your support. For those of you who are watching us live, we love you. We know that that it's still a little bit risky at this point to get out. Thank you for joining us by way of our live stream. We want you to continue to do that. We're still putting up our video Bible studies on Wednesday night. We encourage you to join us there as well. So if there's nothing else that we need to mention, I will see us out in a word of prayer and also give the blessing upon the offering. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much for this place that we can come and we can gather as like-minded believers around your word. Thank you for the facilities that you've given us. Lord, thank you for the technology that you have provided us with to be able to reach beyond the walls of our church out into the world. Thank you for the viewing audience that is watching us and will be watching us throughout this week all around the world. Lord, I pray that you will touch their heart with your word. Lord, for those who are here, those who are so graciously maintaining their tithe and their offering, we're about to take that. I pray that you will look favorably upon the gift as well as the giver. Help us, Lord, to be wise to spend your money your way, that we might reach so many more people with the gospel message. And Lord, that we might also train them to serve you better. Lord, discipleship is so important. Bless the tithe, bless the offering, bless each and every person for having joined us today, whether on campus or whether by our live stream. And Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.